Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Sea, air, land infrastructure for a minimum of 30 days, and then we can extend that. He's absolutely right. The president has this one right on the money. And that's where we want to go to. And when you look at everything the Ukrainians are willing to work with, now it's over to the Russians, over to Putin. Okay, we've got one side. Now you need to come up the other side, and I think we're close.
Well, the world saw an image of the president of Ukraine sitting down with the president of the United States, Donald Trump, in a big, big, ornate room at the Pope's funeral recently. And Jim Carafano is here to talk about world events with us. Jim, thanks for being here.
You know, I think that that photo is going to be one of the iconic pictures of the 21st century. And it says so much about Donald Trump. And I think something that people just don't appreciate. Look, Trump doesn't like Zelensky. I mean, just personally, on a personal level, it's very clear that he did not warm up to him the way he's warmed up to leaders like Modi and Malay and Maloney. But the one thing that Donald Trump has always been consistent with, first term, second term, it doesn't matter, is, you know, Trump has instincts, but when he believes that it's important for the country, it doesn't matter if he likes it or not, if it's his instinct or not, he's going to do the thing that's in the best interest of the country. And it is in the best interest of the country to try to end this war and to support a free and independent Ukraine. And so he will sit down with this man knee to knee because he knows that it's the right thing to do. And to be honest with you, and I am a religious person, so what can I say? The fact that that happened in the panic, where it did in the cathedral really suggests to me that this country has been blessed by God. We have a leader. He may not be perfect. He may not say everything you like. He may not even always be right. But I'll tell you one thing is, he is there for one reason, which is to take care of the American people to the best of his abilities, and we are blessed to have that.
Yeah, you're right. That is a moment in time, especially depending on how this thing plays out, that if people can look to that and say, wow, things really changed after that conversation, maybe there was some divine intervention going on here. But, Jim, do you think that there's a point at which, you know, like you said, he doesn't really like Zelensky. He definitely doesn't like Putin. Is there a point at which he says, okay, then you guys solve it because I keep trying to bring you to the table and you're not doing anything?
Well, I mean, you can't walk away from Ukraine. And I think it's very clear that the U.S. isn't going to do that because it's not in our interest to do that. It's not in our interest to see Putin take over Ukraine, to see all those people die, to see Europe completely destabilized, to see that all of Europe would be an open, you know, open running ground for Russia and China. There's no benefit to us for that happens. So that's unlikely, you know, particularly because it's actually not that big a lift for the United States. Look, we're not going to World War III. It's not going to be a nuclear war. The Europeans are actually picking up more of the responsibility. Ukrainians are building their own defense industry. They went from $1 billion a year to have a $15 billion a year defense industry already. It's not a heavy lift for us to continue to support Ukraine, and it is draining on the Russians. And it's not just Ukraine. What the president's doing, the price of oil, what he's doing to push back on the Chinese and on the Iranians. And I'm just guessing that the phone call to North Korea saying, you guys, you probably want to stop doing this. I believe that phone call is coming. So I don't think there are good days ahead for the Russians.
Has Putin, to you, Jim, shown any sign that you're like, oh, there's a good sign that maybe he's starting to negotiate or back off, or maybe there's an end in sight?
Yeah, one thing. But I will tell you, Putin has I like Putin. I hate the guy, but he's always consistent. So Putin wants something for nothing, and he will continue to bluff and push and lie until he realizes he's nothing else to get, and then he might make a deal. But so I tell you one interesting tidbit, which to me might mean something, which is the Russians have started to move troops back up to the border with Finland. They basically took troops from everywhere to throw them into Ukraine. And so the fact that they're dispersing them again might suggest that they're giving up on Ukraine. But that's the only data point I have then. But you know, we'll see.
Jim Carafano is senior counselor to the President, E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Last time we were talking to you, Iran was a little bit more in the news than it has been the last week or so. Is there any developments with the U.S. and Iran and the Middle East in general?
Look, I'm not super expecting the Iranians to come and make a deal, because that the president was pretty clear. A deal is you give up your nuclear weapons program. I'm not sure the regime's willing to do that. They are really interested in the survival of the regime. I think it's much more likely that they hunker down and, you know, ride this out than they give up their nuclear program. That's not to say that they become a nuclear state. You have to remember, and something people really don't get, this is not about technical ability. Iran can be a nuclear power any day it wants to. All it has to do is say, I'm a nuclear weapons power. It has everything it needs to put a nuclear weapon together. It's a political decision. It's not a technical decision. So Iran would only make the decision to say, hey, I'm a nuclear power, when they believe that it was in their interest to do so. And I think the more pressure we put on them, the more likely they're saying, you know, there's no benefit for us to do this, because as soon as we do this, you know, that then we're done. You know, that threat is gone. So you know, I think the Ayatollahs are more likely to say, let's hold on to that card for now. And because the one thing we don't want to do is risk an attack from Israel or the United States. It was something that we're not prepared for. So that's my guess, but we'll see what happens.
This is a bigger picture question, but I remember even back during George W. Bush days, listening to both pundits and preachers saying, look, they're trying to wait out Iran. You know, there's war, right, in the Middle East, especially during G.W. Bush's term. But they're trying to wait out Iran because the people of the country don't like the leadership of the country. But here we are, this is roughly 20 years later, and it doesn't seem like that's ever happened.
Well, it is true that the people of Iran would be happy to see these yahoos gone, but they don't have the army. You know, the mullahs have the army. Look, we waited out Russia and the Soviets in the Cold War, and that took a really, really long time. So, honestly, waiting out is not...
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40.
period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Not a bad strategy as long as you can protect your interests. I mean, the problem with Biden is we weren't waiting out the Iranians. We were letting them run wild through the Middle East. They had Houthis bombing everybody. They had the Hamas attacking Israel. They had Hezbollah attacking Israel. I mean, they were setting the region on fire. That's not waiting out the Iranians. That's letting the lunatics out of the asylum.
Right.
So put the lunatics back in the asylum and then let them be loony.
You know, one of the things Trump says over and over and over, I mean, to the point that you're like, okay, I know, you've said it many, many times, is anytime they bring up Ukraine or Iran or Israel, he says, this would have never happened if I had been in office for the last 4 years. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. There's no question in my mind. And there's no question in my mind that all those enemies know there's a new sheriff in town. And they're just right now trying to figure out how to survive the next 3.5 years of Donald Trump. Keeping their head down.
There's a clip that I think we played earlier today that it's Scott Bessent talking economically, but the same principle would apply, that he's using strategic uncertainty in the negotiations, which I guess that does affect national interests and foreign policy as well. But that seems to be Trump's MO across the board.
I don't think it's uncertain. I don't think there's any uncertainty to this. You know, the guy's got cards to play. And he's willing to throw them down. That's certain. You're making a bet. Is he going to throw that card down or not? You know, good luck with that, my friend. But I don't find any uncertainty in Trump's strategy at all.
Well, that would be the uncertainty, though, right? It would be, is he going to call the bluff? That would be the...
You know, there's no uncertainty in poker because unless you're cheating, right? Because the rules are the rules, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's the same. It works the same way.
Let's move on to, I guess, a little bit more of a domestic front. Not quite here, but Canada had some elections yesterday. You know, this is a weird election, and a lot of people saying, yes, absolutely, Trump is the deciding factor in the Canadian election. True or false?
I don't know. It is true. I don't think Trump weakened the conservatives. What Trump helped do is he did unite the opposition, because rather than vote for a bunch of different candidates, they all piled on this guy. I mean, I think Canadian voters made a horrible mistake. But it's their decision. To the end, it's not Trump's fault. It's their fault. They made a bad decision. But I will say that, look, Canada is going to do the right thing in the end because it's sitting next to the United States and it really doesn't have a choice. So in the end, no matter who the Canadian prime minister is, they're going to be pragmatic about their relationship with the United States, just like the president of Mexico is in the end. Rhetoric, blah, blah, politics, your favorite taco sauce aside, doesn't matter. In the end, they're going to have to play ball with the United States because they really don't have a choice.
Jim, we're getting into a little bit economics here, but they all cross over so much. But has Trump really kind of cornered China? I mean, not China, but Canada in a way, China too, for that matter, that they really don't have a lot of options. Is he playing this wise enough that he's saying, look, I know what your options are. Here's what they are. You choose which one it is, but I've got you cornered.
Well, it's not Trump's fault they don't have any options. They basically, basically what they have is an export economy that's dependent on the United States, and which is fine as long as the United States buys stuff. Then they go off like a drunken sailor, and they waste everything in their economy. They don't develop it. They don't do the right policies, and they make themselves weak and completely dependent on us and on our largesse. We didn't put them in that situation. You know, it's just like you run up your credit cards. The credit card company didn't make you do that. You decided. And then you say, I have no options. And the credit card company's like, okay, you should have put all that stuff on the credit card.
Right, yeah. And since I mentioned China, let's talk about them too.
But Canada's pathetic, okay. Right? Here is a beautiful country with all the resources in the universe, and was actually one of the most liberal in a good sense, best places to live in the world. And liberal governments ran the country into the ground. And then they vote to bring these guys back. It's just nuts.
So with China, similar situation, has he boxed them in? Or is it there's probably a lot more going on because China's so big?
Well, you know, look, China, Iran, and Russia all have one thing in common, which is their foreign policy is they'll only be better off in the world if we get rid of the United States. And when that's your only option, you're going to try to find a way to do that. So it doesn't matter how much your economy is crippled or ruined, or you can't do this, they're going to try to find a way to poke at us. This is exactly what the Soviets did up until the moment the Soviet Union collapsed. So if you were tired of Rocky 1, 2, and 3, there's going to be a Rocky 4, 5, and 6 because some yahoo is going to get in the ring and try to punch your face in. That's just the reality of it. The Chinese are not going to stop being the Chinese.
Last question for you before I run out of time here, Jim Carafano. Is all of this blustering back and forth between the U.S. and pretty much any other nation saying, yeah, we're close to a deal. Oh, no, we're not close to a deal. We don't like what they're doing. We don't like each other. Is that all part of the process? I mean, are we really closer than we think we are?
Yeah. Have you never been married before?
Yeah, I have. My first wife will tell you all about it. I'm still married to her.
This is the way. It's people are actually, this is what's called making a deal, which is both sides are trying to get, the most out of it they can before they sign the bottom line. That's all.
Yeah.
I'd be disappointed in a country that didn't try to do that.
I was hoping to hear some big announcements here on day 100 of the Trump administration, but I guess we're not going to get any big trade deals today.
I think the big trade deal thing is irrelevant. I mean, I think he's already I think most of the uncertainty of the trade policy is already out there. And I think people have baked that in, and they know that in the end we are resetting the global order. We're doing a new way of doing things, but the uncertainty of that the whole thing is going to collapse into the depression, I think, is over. So as a story, I think this is over. To me, this is like going and watching them change the oil in your car. I mean, it's important, it needs to get done, the car can't run without it, but that's not where the exciting things are going to happen in the world.
Yeah, we're not going to put the title of your interview as changing the oil in your car. We're going to say resetting the global order, because that's much more exciting.
That'll get you more eyeballs.
Exactly. Jim Carafano, thank you so much for your time, as usual, and your expertise. Appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. And did you catch that, producers? That's a great title for that interview. Resetting the global order. It really is happening. I mean, we're joking, but I've heard somebody say, and it really stuck with me, that this is the biggest change in national and foreign policy since World War II. We are completely redoing our relationships with everybody in the world, and people will talk, just like we talk about World War II in an economic sense, we will talk about the Trump administration, probably even the second term of Trump, as that moment. Yeah. Oh, well, ever since Trump, blah, blah, blah. That's what economic conversations will look like in the future. Let's take a short break. We are connecting still, constantly with Annie Fry. We knew Jimmy was going to be here for that segment, but Annie is sending us content actively throughout this show because she's interviewing multiple lawmakers. She's already sat down with Senator Eric Schmidt. And are we good to go with that?
I think we can make that happen for next segment.
So I think we're going to play that interview that she just did a couple hours ago with Senator Eric Schmidt in Washington, D.C., right here on The Annie Fry Show next.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.